Welcome to Kona Stories, a show by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Halee Lee, owner of The Other Media Group and producer of this show.
And I'm Don Eubanks, associate of Dendros and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
Unfortunately, both Luz and Anthony were unable to join us today, as we did have to make a change in our usual recording time to accommodate our very special guests today. Heidi, would you like to introduce yourself and where you are and kind of your connection to Minnesota?
Sure. So my name is Heidi Inman. I'm a member of the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate, and I am currently living in Germany. I moved here from Minneapolis, Minnesota, my home state. I moved here in August for a job, and I've been, prior to this, I was living in Minneapolis from 2016, and I was, you know, kind of involved in the community with the houseless population. Before that, it was doing supply runs out to Standing Rock and really just getting to know my Dakota community, because the, you know, Minnesota, Minneapolis area is, you know, my ancestral homeland. So, yeah, and now I'm living in Germany. I'm living somewhere between Nuremberg and Munich.
And that's kind of how you connected with this whole movement that you're a part of now, in the area with all the with Russia invading Ukraine. I mean, we're friends on social media, and we met through the Arts Organization in Progress. And you posted, you're like, anyone who knows me knows I'm not just going to sit here and stand still.
Right.
And then you literally went and did stuff. I mean, how did that come about?
Well, I think it was probably like day two into the war. I couldn't stop watching the news, and, you know, sort of just like what we do in crisis, I started eating my feelings. And then I kind of felt like, okay, I can sit here and, you know, watch my computer screen, or I can get out there and do something. And so I started scouring Facebook for groups that are helping to assist in Ukraine. And I stumbled upon just a little feed about this girl who was looking to help, and her aid was going directly into Ukraine, because she has an auntie who is living in Chernobyl, and, you know, if anyone wanted to help. So I private messaged her, and it just started a relationship.
So what did that relationship turn into? What exactly are you doing, Heidi?
So what we're doing is we are collecting monetary donations. It's easier to shop here. And so basically what we're getting is a list from her aunt in Chernobyl. And it is a list for civilians, and it's also a list for army. And so we are going out and purchasing items or ordering them from Amazon DE, and just basically getting supplies to Ukraine. The Czech Republic was offering 5 boxes per person of humanitarian mail to go from the Czech Republic into Ukraine. And that is how we did the first drop. And I think the first drop I had was about a $1,200 donation worth of supplies, mainly food and things for women and babies. The second time around, I think it's been more like close to $4,000. And we had enough to fill a passenger van without the seats, from aid from Vienna, aid from their town and their personal donations, and then the aid that I collected from all of my friends, and actually people I have never even met in the States. And that van actually went from Brno, Czech Republic, to the border, the Ukraine border, from Poland to Ukraine, and then it was driven into Chernobyl.
So there are folks who then are helping out by driving those vehicles to deliver the stuff also. That's part of this effort?
It is, yeah.
So is this a continuing thing that you're going to be doing during the duration of however long Russia stays in Ukraine?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've been doing it every week, but I think I may spread it out just a little bit, just so that you know, because the need changes as more and more women and children leave Ukraine, you know, what's left. So it's feeding who stays behind, and it's also helping to feed the army, because, you know, supply chain is in some places it's not able to, you know, go any further. And there are brave people who are going to do this. So yeah, I think so.
You're listening to Counter Stories. I'm Halil Lee with co-host Don Eubanks and special guest Heidi Inman. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For a full conversation, please visit counterstories.com. I was just amazed by that, and the young woman that you began working with. So you shared a video with us, and I just wanted to play it quickly.
I would like to show you that we have prepared all of the boxes, all of the donations for tomorrow's sending to Ukraine. We will load it into a van, which is going straight to the city called Ternopil, where my godmom will receive it and then give it to all of the people that are in need and all of the places that she knows that need all of these things. And of course, to the army. We would like to say a huge, huge thank you to all of you who helped us to collect all of this stuff and to have the ability to help Ukraine. We don't know you personally, but we would like to say a huge, huge thank you, especially to Heidi, who organized all of this for us. And tomorrow we will send all of it to Ukraine. And afterwards we will show you where it went and how it is received in Ukraine.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, but I didn't do it alone, so.
Yeah. So tell me about the young woman you connected with and the family and kind of how that caravan, right? This is really very much kind of that caravan of,
yeah,
you know, dropping off the supplies to one location and then adding to it and then dropping off those supplies to another location and then adding to it and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So she's pretty young. I want to say she's probably maybe in her mid 20s. She has her own business that she runs. So the history is their family are from Ukraine. Her mother moved to the Czech Republic about 25 years ago. And, but so the grandmother still lives in Ternopil or in that region. And, so they go back and forth, right? It's where they're from. And I think the same thing. She is in the Czech Republic watching this happen to the country, you know, these are her ancestral homelands. This is where she's from. And she is feeling helpless too. Like, what can I do? And so, you know, we have the same mindset of just, we need to do something. We need to help. This is our community of sorts and people need us. So when she put the post on Facebook, there was just something about reading this and then getting to know her through chat. We both have the same concerns about, you know, trust. People are putting a lot of faith in sending me money to then buy things that will go directly to people in need. So, and the same thing is happening with her. She's getting money from Vienna, from other people. And so she wants to make sure that the donations that she is either purchasing or receiving are going to the people that they are meant for. So the common bond here was, you know, caring for people, but also having that line of trust. So yeah, I mean, you know, and that's really all I can say is just, we're just a group of women. Her mom is also helping out. And then we've got Ola, the godmom, but I'll call her auntie, Ola at the other end. And we're all just, I guess, four women trying to do what we do best take care of others.
So Heidi, you know, you mentioned that this young woman, so her grandmother has no plans on leaving.
She was going to stay, you know, because she was going to help, you know, stay. And that was her sole intent and purpose, is to just stay. And, you know, this is where she's from. She didn't want to leave. I think now that things are starting to get a lot more dangerous And it's now spreading even further, the danger, to cities that probably didn't see a whole lot of action in the beginning are now receiving refugees. And then, you know, at some point behind that will come, you know, the violence. So she will be leaving Ukraine soon. They're going to arrange that for her.
But you two are going to continue these efforts, correct?
Yes, as long as we have a contact that can accept them for us, we will keep doing it. And if it comes to the point where it's no longer safe to get it into Ukraine, then I probably would like to work with someone on other borders other than Poland, like Romania or someplace, because I feel like maybe the aid, I'm sure aid is getting to these other countries, but you know, the focus is on Poland right now, but they are taking probably the majority of people. But I also want to help places that maybe aren't being thought of as much, but they're doing what they can.
Mm-hmm. You know, we sit back here, you know, we're way back here in Minnesota. And but this, you know, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia is upsetting. You know, it's traumatic. And so even though we're so far away, it impacts us daily. I mean, you get up, you know, you make your new word that I just learned in Ojibwe for coffee, but I don't feel confident enough yet. I think it's a Mukadewa Mashkigi Wabu, and you have that, you have a couple cups of that, and you turn on the news and it's the conflict in Ukraine, and it's, you know, it's traumatic, and we keep hearing all these horrible reports. It's live, you know, reporters are dying out there now. We see mm-hmm. pictures of rockets, you know, blowing up apartment buildings, churches, schools, hospitals. They're attacking, you know, there's reports that as Ukrainians try to flee, they're actually being fired upon by Russian soldiers. I mean, so yeah, this is just totally out of hand. And then you throw in this threat of the fact that, you know, the guy who's calling the shots over there, Putin has this nuclear capability, and it's just creating this horrible humanitarian need. And you know, there are so many things that I think that we could donate for, but something like this, where you know, you as a Dakota in Germany has a direct tie to someone who has connections to the Ukraine. And I know that, you know, as you were describing this, you mentioned the word trust, and that is so, I think that is so important, because I would mm-hmm. love to find a way to be able to help, you know, and what little way that I can. But I think that, you know, and you know, here in the United States, we have all those typical ways, you know, there's all these kind of major kind of things. But even with some of those, you know, I'm not sure. I just, you know, am hesitant.
You never know, right? I mean, that's the thing, is like, there's every time I open up emails or social media, it's like, donate to this, donate to that. It's going to Ukraine. But who knows? Right. I mean, how you then learn about all the overhead, the administrative costs that come off your donation. So if you only have $50 to give, how much of that $50 is actually going towards the supplies or towards the aid? Right. And so when I saw Heidi's post on Facebook that she was doing this and she was looking for donations, I was like, OK, well, this is somebody that, you know, comes from our community and that I feel like is more trustworthy than some big agency out in New York or DC that's asking for money. And that's a big deal, because my husband has been watching news 24/7. Like, he's obsessed with this. He was like, if, you know, I told him Luz and Anthony couldn't join us today. And he was like, all right, count me in. Like, he has so many questions and, you know, but he had to go to work. And one of the things he was like, you know, let's start booking Airbnbs. Because that was a thing everybody was talking about. You book Airbnbs in the Ukraine, but you don't actually go. So then I started looking at booking a bunch of Airbnbs. And then it comes to the point of like, okay, there's tons of properties. Who do you choose? Right? There's people who own the property. It might be
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
So what would you two be accomplishing by booking Airbnbs? What would that be accomplishing? I mean, explain it to me so I understand what it is that you guys had in mind by doing that.
Okay, so yeah, so basically you're booking an Airbnb that you'll never go to, but it is still helping out somebody financially. Because now, I mean, think about it. This could have been a time where people are starting to book trips to go visit Kyiv for, you know, whatever, food or to just sightsee. And now all that revenue is being lost because someone decided to wage a war against them. So perhaps this was a way to, you know, buy extra groceries, buy extra gas, whatever. And so by booking the Airbnbs, you're still supporting the person who is opening up their home for people to come and stay.
But yeah, I'm not versed in Airbnbs. So if the individual who owns that property, if they've left, if they've evacuated, and you still kind of rent that Airbnb, how is that still helping them?
The funds still go to them. So
yes. Okay, so whether they're in Ukraine or not, it's mm-hmm. the idea of still supporting someone.
Right.
Okay. I mean, then that makes sense to me. I was just trying to figure out how that works.
So even if they fled, like the funds would still be there for them. But there are so many properties, you know, then you have to go through and you're selecting people. And I was like, okay, this feels weird now. Now I'm selecting, you know, who gets my $150. And then I start thinking about when I've stayed in Airbnbs that are owned by property companies versus owned by a mom and pop or a family, you know? So then I was like, oh my God, it's getting too complicated. What do I do now? How do I select? And I was like, okay, I'm just going to send money to Heidi. Like, it's so much easier to do it that way because I don't want to sit here and look through a million profiles and try to select people based on their Airbnb profile. Because a lot of people don't tell you, you know, what anything in that profile. They don't have to. I feel like I just can't make a decision.
That's incredible. You guys are from a totally different generation. Because the last thing I would have ever thought of, because I've only rented an Airbnb one time, and that was in Des Moines, Iowa. I would have never thought of renting Airbnbs with the intent of not going as a way to get revenue to someone. You know what I mean? I just, that wouldn't cross my mind. That's incredible that you guys would even think about doing something like that. Seriously, you know, wow, that's a totally different way of looking at it and trying to get, because I'm the same way, Hilly. I would like to contribute, you know, I feel helpless sitting here sometimes, you know, and I know there's, you know, traditional kind of historic kind of places and, you know, the news has always got some kind of connection, but even then, I don't know those individuals. And now that we've had this opportunity to kind of meet Heidi, it gives me a real way where I think I can reach out and help. And I still think it's incredible that you're in Germany and you met this individual online and it's developed into this an incredible support for folks in the Ukraine. I think that's absolutely incredible that you're taking the time to do things like this, Heidi.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's like the least I can do. It's, you know, I'm able to do it. It's the least I can do. People are in need. They're in dire situations. And, you know, I think just, you know, culturally, you know, we're supposed to care for one another. We're supposed to feed each other. We're supposed to welcome. And so, you know, it just seems like the natural event or the natural way to take care of people I don't even know. And it is heartbreaking to see these, you know, their elders and the women and the children having to flee, you know, a life that they've, you know, that they know, these elderly people who've probably lived in Ukraine for most of their lives. And now they're having to leave behind everything that they have. So, you know, if I can get $50 to buy some cans of, you know, meals that they can heat up to eat, then I think that's what I feel like I need to do.
You're listening to Counter Stories. I'm Halil Lee with co-host Don Eubanks and special guest Heidi Inman. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For our full conversation, please visit counterstories.com.
To sit here and watch is day in and day out. What are we on, a 19th day now since the invasion, something like that? It's very depressing. You know, I never thought that we would reach this point. You know what I mean? That somebody would be invading. Well, I guess I can't say that because it's happened
8 years ago. Yeah.
Well, yeah. When they went into Crimea, but you know, you would think that we would be able to deal with things. But we've had conflicts all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. But this just feels so different for some reason.
And you're absolutely right, Don. You know, we talk about the Middle Ages or the olden days when people were fighting for borders, and we thought we were past that, right? Where we're not fighting for borders anymore. And it's something that I guess we never really thought we'd have to deal with on this scale again. And it's so big just because there's that big threat of world war, right? And including so many more people. And it's scary to think of what it might become. I mean, I heard that men 16 to 60 can't.
I think it's 16 to 54 were asked not to leave the country in order to stay in defense.
And that's a scary thought when there has to be a rule like that, right? Or a request like that. That's a scary thought that we haven't had to deal with in my lifetime. And most of our lifetimes. And so it's like, it makes me very anxious. Like, I think every morning, like, I get up, I have my coffee, and I make sure Zelensky's alive. Like, that's my progress of the day, right? Because he is a leader. He has been, like, this unifying force, not only in Ukraine, but, like, across the world. You know, he addressed Congress and showed this very emotional video of just everything that's happening right now on the ground. And it's horrific. You can't watch that and not feel like, you know, we have to do something. And for many of us who are not lawmakers, who are not in Congress, you know, we feel helpless. And to know that there are people like Heidi who have the ability and the want to go out and do this it's inspiring. It gives you a little bit of hope when you feel hopeless in this situation. You know, it makes me think of my parents and how they had to flee their homeland and there wasn't anybody trying to get supplies to them. Right. It was, you make it here and, you know, maybe you can live in these really terrible camps for a while, but you got to make it here and no one's going to help you along the way. You know, when we were doing our show last week, our grab bag show, we were like, how do we address this invasion of Ukraine? And we really didn't know how, because it gets so political. And it gets so emotional and, you know, it was hard for us to think of how we would be able to address this in a way of really not only showing our support for the people who are suffering, but also in a way that, you know, connects us as Minnesotans, connects us as, you know, BIPOC people in Minnesota, like, and so you know, hearing all the great things that you're doing, having only lived in that neighborhood or that area for like 6 months or so, and really branching out and really figuring this all out. I mean, it really is very inspiring. And so I guess as we're closing out here, you know, what are the messages that you'd like to folks not in Europe to take away from our discussion today and from the work that you've been doing?
You know, I think that, you know, if there's any way that people can help with, you know, in any way that makes them feel good, whether it's taking, you know, canned goods to a collection place, even if it's taking some things from your own home, you know, and that helps your heart. I think that maybe however it is that you pray, however it is that you think of people, whether you put tobacco down and you know, just really think about and praying and the thought of, you know, hopefully this ends for them soon. You know, and if you can't, you know, monetarily or physically donate, if you see something that hits your heart as far as a post or something that you want to share, that has been done with me in the work that I'm doing here, is there are some people I know who just financially can't contribute. So sharing a post, you know, you never know what that generates. And just to, I guess, you know, just to think about really the people of Ukraine, I feel that they're, you know, they're just like you and I, you know, they're just trying to live their lives. They, you know, just trying to exist. And this awful, horrific event is happening. And, you know, and it's going to change the face of the country. It's going to change the lives of so many. And I don't know, just, you know, do what you can. And if you can't do something for people in Ukraine, do something locally.
Again, I'm saying it again, but thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. I know you're 7 hours ahead of us, so it's pretty late there. I am in awe and inspired by you, Heidi. So thank you for being on Counter Stories. I'm Halili, owner of The Other Media Group and producer of this show.
Don Eubanks, associate of Dendros and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indian.
And our special guest today, Heidi, do you want to sign off?
Sure. Thank you for having me on Counter Stories. And I feel like I'm just this small person, but bringing a little life to what is happening here just from someone's perspective, I think is really good. And it helps open the eyes of people just, you know, out of curiosity or care. And I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you. If our listeners are interested in helping out Heidi's mission with these other women, you can find her PayPal and Venmo information on our social media, as well as our website, counterstories.com. Thanks for joining us. This has been Counter Stories, a co-production of the Counter Stories crew, The Other Media Group, and Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For a full conversation, please visit counterstories.com.